Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and I want to begin today's broadcast by simply talking about something that is of great concern to me as we end our fiscal year. Many of you who have been following the ministry of the Christian Research Institute for years know that we have the ending of our calendar year, but we also have the ending of our fiscal year, which comes up June 30. So before we take your calls, I want to say just a few words about that. Let me start by saying this. Omar Bradley, who was one of the most famous American generals of World War II, reflected on the horrendous war that had concluded only 3 years earlier. And in his reflection, he said, "We know that unless free people stand boldly and united against the forces of aggression, they may fall wretchedly, one by one, into the web of oppression." And although aggression is blatantly physical in the sense that Bradley was talking about it, the aggression that most concerns me is of a far more subtle nature. It is the relentless assault on life and truth, and even the assault on common decency right here in our own backyards. It's an assault we're called to resist with every fiber of our being. The assault on life through abortion claims millions of unborn babies per year. These are chilling numbers that should cause us to weep and wail in anguish, and yet the silent Holocaust continues 24/7. And what about the assault on truth? Well, in some sectors, the combined ravages of postmodern deconstructionism, as well as secularism, have so disemboweled traditional notions of truth that even the concept of objective truth or moral absolutes now sounds, well, curiously quaint. Consider, for example, the appalling state of biblical illiteracy. Fewer than half of all adults today can name all four of the Gospels. Almost none of them can name the 12 disciples. Bradley was right. We have men of science, but far too few men of God. We have grasped the mystery of the atom and rejected the Sermon on the Mount. The world has achieved brilliance without conscience. Ours is a world of nuclear giants, but ethical infants. And that's my reason to speak to you today. It's not to whine, but on the contrary, it's to blow a clarion trumpet and mobilize serious Christians to join the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast in a fight for the very future of life and truth as we know it. Throughout history, there have been three stages in the demise of civilizations. You go from spiritual apostasy to moral depravity, and from moral depravity to political anarchy. And while thankfully we have yet to reach the stage of political anarchy, no thinking person can doubt that we are well beyond the initial stage of apostasy, and we're gaining momentum on moral depravity. Just as the sheer material might of North America played a pivotal role in crushing the tyranny that threatened free peoples during World War II, so too the Christian Research Institute's financial resources play a pivotal role in our ability to stand daily for life and truth. The brutal fact is that without the resources to continue standing for life and truth, we are as inconsequential as soldiers who have run out of ammo. And again, because our financial year closes June 30, I'll ask you to please do what you can today. If for some reason that's not possible, please be sure to mark your gift postmarked by June 30. Again, all of this month, the ending of our fiscal year, and we ask you to stand with us prayerfully and financially. You can do that in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org, or you can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Resource Consultants is always standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone calls. Sal first in Pennsylvania. Hi, Sal.
Hi, Hank. I have two real quick questions. Children of the Old Testament, like David was told to go out and kill all the women, children, and, do the children go to heaven of non-believers?
Well, first of all, what we have to do is say that where the Bible is largely silent, we don't want to scream. But the theological deduction, from my perspective, is yes. David had a child with Bathsheba. Bathsheba was the former wife of Uriah the Hittite. And when the child died, David had a certainty that that child would one day be reunited with him in eternity. And so while we don't have clear indications of Scripture, I think that we can base a certain answer on the reality that God is both a God of love as well as a God of justice. So I leave those children in the hands of an infinitely just and infinitely merciful God. In the prologue to the question, however, you mentioned the genocide of women and children. And I think you have to contextualize that statement by what the Scriptures are really saying. The command to destroy them totally, and this comes in Deuteronomy chapter 7, is contextualized by the words, "Do not intermarry with them, for they will turn your sons and your daughters away from following me to serve other gods." So the aim of God's command was not the obliteration of the wicked, but the obliteration of wickedness. And we have ample reason to believe that not everyone was killed. Those who turned from their evil ways like offering their sons and daughters to idols, putting their children in infanticide in the arms of an idol like Baal, where they would literally be burnt to death. Those who refrained and turned from their wicked ways after God had warned them for over 400 years were spared on account of their faith. Rahab, of course, and her family, the quintessential example. On account of her faith, she was allowed to live among the Israelites and become true Israel herself, such that she is in the lineage of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So it's always important to qualify the whole idea that people bring up ad nauseum, ad infinitum, of genocide on the part of the God of the Old Testament. It's important to recognize that blessings for those who follow and cursings for those who rebel is still a maxim that applies in that context as it does today.
Okay, I got one other real quick question. When a non-believer dies, do they go directly to hell, and then after that they come back in their bodies and they go to the judgment, and then they're cast into the lake of fire again?
Well, no. The way that you have to look at this is to recognize the story of Jesus in Luke chapter 16. Right. Now, there's a rich man who dies and ends up in torment. That torment is an earnest of that which is to come, because the rich man, just like anyone who dies today, is absent the body and either in torment or in the presence of the Lord. Lazarus, the beggar lying at his gate, is in the presence of the Lord. The biblical text tells us the angels carried him to Abraham's bosom or paradise, a way of saying that he is being comforted by being in the presence of the Lord. what happens when Jesus appears a second time, Jesus explains himself. He says, do not be amazed at this. A time is coming when all who are in the grace will come out. Some will rise to live, and some will rise to be eternally condemned. And so when Jesus appears a second time, the soul of the rich man will return to his body. The soul of Lazarus will return to his body. Those bodies will be resurrected. They will be judged. And then the rich man will not only experience an earnest or a foretaste of hell, but hell itself, which is separation from the goodness and grace of God for all eternity. The same thing for Lazarus, except in reverse, Lazarus will be resurrected to eternal life. He will forever experience the resurrected Christ. He will experience a restored universe and forever explore the glory and goodness of the God who saved him.
Hank, I thank you for answering my questions, taking the time to do that. I appreciate it.
You're absolutely welcome. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more.
Every CRI outreach, our broadcast, podcast, website, resources, the Christian Research Journal, and more is made possible only because of friends like you. Your partnership matters. What kind of impact has your partnership had? An impact for time and for eternity. Stand with Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute during the key month of June to ensure that we end the financial year in a position of strength. To make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. God bless you. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. Winston Churchill once declared, "You may have to fight when there is no hope of victory, because it is better to perish than to live as slaves." Churchill sought to awaken those who were reluctant to fight against the advancing Nazi war machine. Today, a spiritual battle is taking place. Atheism advances in the West, and slavery to secularity is imprisoning more and more hearts and minds in the United States. For this reason, CRI's ministry is critical. But we need people willing to stand for truth, along with the financial provisions to accomplish its mission. Stand with Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute during the month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. Call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. Why not drop us a line at CRI today? We'd love to hear from you. You can get in touch with us several ways. You can call us toll-free at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Also, write to us at P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip 28271. Or if you're on the Internet, look us up at www.equip.org. And now, once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and right back to our phone callers. We'll talk next to Brian. He's listening in Syracuse, New York, on the web. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Hank. How you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
That's good. Well, you know what? I'm researching so I can return.
Okay.
So let me ask you a question. I have a good question from a friend of mine who's an atheist, and we've been dialoguing back and forth, and he says to me, well, you know, if the Bible isn't contradicted, tell me, where did Christ ascend from? From the Mount of Olives, as Acts 1:9-12 suggests, or from Bethany, as in Luke 24:50-51 suggests? What's the answer, Hank?
Well, the first thing I would say to this gentleman with gentleness and with respect is, look, both accounts are written by Dr. Luke, and therefore he is not likely to contradict himself. And certainly, when you think about Dr. Luke, his credentials as a historian are absolutely impeccable. And therefore, you wouldn't think that a doctor with impeccable credentials is likely to contradict himself, particularly in the matter of history, where he was a seasoned veteran. So what's going on? If you look at Luke chapter 24, what that actually tells us is that when he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, speaking of Jesus Christ, he was taken up into heaven. In Acts 1, Dr. Luke says, after Jesus had ascended, the disciples returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, which was a Sabbath day's walk from the city. So there's no contradiction there whatsoever, because Bethany is a village on the Mount of Olives, and it's about 2 miles southeast of Jerusalem, if you've ever been to the Holy Land. So the accounts are perfectly consistent with one another. So this is what I call a supposed contradiction. It's not a contradiction in fact.
Boy, that made it sound very simple. Okay, perfect. That makes complete and total sense.
Good.
I walk every Wednesday with my uncle, who is an atheist, and I have a lot of atheists in my family and in my life, and I end up going to the equip.org site. You can just type in your question, and all your articles concerning that question comes up, and I find myself doing a lot of copying and pasting and texting answers, and I hope you don't mind me plagiarizing you.
Not at all. I mean, we want the wind to blow.
Absolutely. But so the thing is my uncle says to me, watch this front line from Jesus to Christ, and I actually had an opportunity today to watch some of it, and it seems like there are, you know, a lot of theologians and a lot of archaeologists and a lot of heady-minded people are starting to try to explain the account and the history of the Bible and the Gospels, and how it seems like Mark, being that he wrote in the 80s, that he kind of switched maybe the doctrine that Jesus taught to satisfy what was going on in the day.
Now, well, see, this is the problem. I mean, think about someone saying that Mark is written in the 80s. That's absolutely absurd on the face of it. And Mark was written far earlier than that. In fact, all of the Bible was completed by the time that the temple was destroyed in AD 70. And you can see that just through common sense. Imagine if I was writing today about a history of terrorism in America and I didn't mention the Twin Towers. That would be unthinkable. I mean, that would be at the epicenter of my narrative. And imagine if you are now Mark writing after the temple is destroyed and never mentioning the destruction of the very edifice that gave the Jews their sociological and spiritual underpinnings. That's unthinkable. Not only that, but imagine one of the gospel writers not picking up on the fulfillment of Christ's prophecy, because he did prophesy that the temple would be destroyed. Imagine if you are writing after the fact, not mentioning that that prophecy had been fulfilled. Of course you would, because that was the pattern of the prophets. So the very notion that Mark has written in the 80s shows a tremendous amount of historical ignorance as well as a lack of common sense.
Yes, that makes sense. That does makes perfect sense. Well, you know what? I appreciate your ministry so much that I am a monthly supporter, and I haven't found a church that I'm comfortable in, and I used to be there Sunday, Monday, Wednesdays, Thursdays for many years, and I found myself slipping away until I happened upon your broadcast. And I have to tell you, God has used this ministry to spark my desire and fire and run full speed for Jesus all over again. And it wasn't coincidental that I happened upon this program. And I credit this ministry. That's why I basically tithe to this ministry until I feel a good church home, for sparking the desire and the fire for Christ back in my life and making him the central theme of my day. Thank you very much.
Well, I don't know what to say except thank you very much. That was, I'm sure, inspiring to a lot of people and certainly to me. Thank you.
God bless you.
Bless you, Brian. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Mike. He's listening in Willow Spring, North Carolina. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Hank.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you. First, I'd like to just thank you and CRI for your ministry and your contribution to the kingdom of God. And like the gentleman before mentioned, I have recently become a partner. I've been listening to you for several months, so I'm very happy about that.
Bless you.
My question is regarding Daniel 12. If you could expound where in the times of the end, when it mentions the 1,290 days, the 1,290 days, and blessed is he that waits to the 1,335 days, if you could expound on the meaning of that.
Yeah. You know, I've done that in a book called Has God Spoken? And I think the first thing that you have to examine is your presuppositions, because the presupposition is that this has to do with the end of our age as opposed to something that's happening in the context of the Old Testament Antichrist, Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes. Remember, Daniel is prophesying in the 6th century before Christ about something that's going to happen 400 years or so hence. And it was on December 14, 164, 7 years after Antiochus had orchestrated the murder of Ananias, and exactly 3 years after he desecrated the temple fortress, after he abolished the daily sacrifice, and after he set up an abomination that causes desolation, that the temple was rededicated and that the daily sacrifice was restored. And by the way, parenthetically, Jesus talks about this when he is communicating an abomination of desolation that is yet in his future. So Jesus is prophesying when he's on the earth about what is going to happen when the temple is not just desecrated, but is going to be manifestly destroyed. And when he does that in the Olivet Discourse, he says, so when you see standing in the holy place the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand. So Jesus is pointing back to what happened so that he can use that as a marker for what is going to happen 40 years hence. So Jesus is prophesying in the 30s about what's going to happen by AD 70, and Daniel is prophesying in the 6th century about what's going to happen at this period of time. To just get to the point, as the Jewish prophet Daniel then foretold, from the time that the daily sacrifice is abolished and the abomination that causes desolation is set up, there will be 1,290 days. And as prophesied by Daniel again, Antiochus, the Antichrist of the Old Testament, was finally dead. He was destroyed not by human power, but he was destroyed by the power and providence of Almighty God. Why? Because upon hearing that the Jews had regained Jerusalem, the Syrian beast vowed that he was going to make Jerusalem a cemetery for Jews. And so you see that the death of that Old Testament Antichrist might well have been in view when Daniel wrote, "Blessed is the one who waits for and reaches the end of the 1,335 days. I lay all of this out sequentially in Has God Spoken in a section called The Abomination That Causes Desolation, spoken of by the prophet Daniel. And right after that section, there's a section in which I deal with the abomination of desolation spoken of by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Going to have to leave it at that. The book Has God Spoken, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. We thank everyone who's tuned in. We thank those who made their kind comments and joined the Bible Answer Man support team. I pray that many of you will follow in their train. When you join the Bible Answer Man support team, I'd be pleased to send you a personalized copy of one of my books as my way of saying thank you. Be happy to personalize it to you, a family member, or a friend. You can join online in a safe, secure fashion at equip.org or just talk to one of our resource consultants at number 888-7000 in the letter CR. I look forward to seeing all of you tomorrow, right here.
Thank you for joining us today. June is one of the most important months for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. That's because we close out another financial year, and we can do so successfully only if listening friends like you stand with us prayerfully and financially. With your gift, you'll help CRI impact even more lives with God's truth. Please call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI, or simply visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org.